Shalom Alechem and welcome. I'm Shoshana, aka Zippor Esh, which simply means firebird in Hebrew. Studying and living God's Torah is the fire of my life. Studying God's Torah without application to our lives is meaningless. Proverbs tells us that the Torah is life to our very bones. The objective of God's word is to change us into the image of the Moshiach, Yeshua, who is the living Torah, so that we can be effective witnesses of God and for His glorious kingdom. Each of these podcasts is a result of God's pruning process in my life, and as I look back through the years, He has done a work in me, but I am still far from perfect. But I am trying. What parent will punish a child who fails but is at least trying to follow their parents' instructions? We have to try. There is no excuse for not even trying unless one still believes that Yeshua's death on the execution stake really did cancel God's eternal covenant. The real problem lies in the lack of understanding of the instructions if we don't want to try. Understanding what God expects from a correct perspective will make so much sense, and following God's will meet with pleasure and success. By searching out the historical and cultural settings, we can gain the true meaning because cultures change, mores change, and influences change through the centuries, but God's instructions and expectations of His children never change. I will probably say some things you've never thought of or heard of before, but what I'm sharing today is like a kindergarten level. Things we learn that set the foundation for the next level of learning. I encourage you to set aside any filters or doctrines that would close your ears from hearing the simple truths that are so simple when understood within the context of the Hebrew mindset. Now, before we go any farther into the podcast, let's begin with the blessing we speak before opening and studying God's Word. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bachar banu b'chol amim, ve'natan lanu et torato, baruch ata Adonai, noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has selected us from all the nations and gave us His Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, the giver of the Torah. Before we say the next blessing, I just want to remind ourselves that Yeshua gave us a command to go into the nations and to make disciples by teaching them to follow the commands of the God of Israel. If we are out there witnessing about the Messiah of Israel, but we are living and teaching a doctrine that says we don't have to follow God's commands that are written in God's holy words, what kind of disciples are we really making? Back during Yeshua's time, when religious Jews were out proselytizing the nations, what were they teaching? Torah, God's instructions for how to live within God's covenant kingdom. We also need to understand that there were two major groups that ruled the Jewish people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They taught very different theologies, and this is critical to understand for this podcast. And the blessing over the good news study. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam natan torat emet ve'besorot Yeshua le'amo Yisrael ulecho chamim ayidei b'nei Yeshua hamoshiach Adonai. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gives the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all the peoples through His Son Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord. Amen. To continue with the differences between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Sadducees hated Yeshua's teachings and miracles as they could be understood to prove what the Pharisees had been teaching since the return of the first exiles. The Sadducees did not accept any religious books except Torah. They rejected everything that came after Deuteronomy along with all the commentaries and the legal writings. Their disciples were taught that there was no Messiah coming to deliver the people from domination. They were extremely legalistic, which is an oxymoron because the Torah is not always clear on how to obey God's commandments. Thus, they had to create their own way of obeying the Torah. They rejected the way the Pharisees were teaching in favor of their own way. This brings up a point that needs to be brought out into the light. The Sadducees were scripture only. They can be compared to those today who reject the Torah and the writings by saying, if it's not in the New Testament, we won't accept it. This creates a dichotomy of theology. The Pharisees gave us a Messiah, but there is no direct mention of a Messiah in the Torah. That concept is brought forth in the writings of the ancient leaders of Israel. So, by denying the Old Testament, this puts a person square in the camp of the Sadducees, who Yeshua had bitter words with. By rejecting the writings of our ancient Jewish teachers, we are left to make up our own way of living, and without the Torah and the ancient writings, they will never look like Yeshua. The glaring difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees is the subject of a Messiah figure. Yeshua could not have been a Messiah without the spiritual giants of the great assembly of the Jewish rulers who came back from exile in Babylon. They are the ones who dug into the books of the prophets and searched out the Hebrew words and the letters and saw the picture of a Messiah who would come to deliver Israel and usher in a messianic age of Torah and Shalom. It is this difference that created the bitter hatred that permeated the streets of Israel and was stimulated Yeshua's words, "They will know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another," as recorded in John 13:35. My friend, if you believe in a man who died on a cross for the sins of the world, that makes you a Pharisee. This sets the stage for this episode. I have titled this podcast, Be Perfect? How is that possible? Our scripture focus for today is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbor, which is Leviticus 19:18, and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Then you will become children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun shine on good and bad people alike. And he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. What reward do you get if you love only those who love you? Why, even tax collectors do that. And if you are friendly only to your friends, are you doing anything out of the ordinary? Even the pagans, the Gentiles, do that. Therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yeshua ends his dissertation with, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That creates a really difficult concept. I know I struggle with perfect. Is that even possible? But the rendering of the word perfect in the Delitzsch Gospel is, therefore, be complete, just as your Father who is in heaven is complete. To really understand what Yeshua is saying, we need to understand the cultural and context of Israel and the religion of Israel. Israel's constitution was the Torah of Moses and the oral Torah that Moses received during the time he was in the presence of God on the top of Mount Sinai. The whole culture of Israel was governed as a nation of people who were regulated in their daily lives on what the Torah said. There was no other religion for Israel. The Torah is what made them a unique nation among all of the other pagan nations of the world. They were the only nation that believed in one God only. As a people chosen by God to represent Him to the surrounding nations, they had to be wholehearted in their observance of God's laws, as they were supposed to reveal God's character so that the people from the pagan nations would be drawn to the way of Torah. So what was Yeshua articulating in his sermon to the crowds on the hillside that day? The word used in Matthew chapter 5, 48, complete, is the Hebrew word shalem. This word is just one of several ways it can be said depending on the vowel markings. In this instance, this spelling means whole, complete, entire, intact, perfect, total. as explained in the Dictionary of the Targumim and the Talmud Bavli in Yerushalayim, and the Midrashic literature compiled by Marcus Jastrow. When we look at this meaning within the context of what Yeshua is saying, we could read this verse as, "So be whole, complete, lacking nothing, even as your Father in heaven is whole and complete, lacking nothing." If we take this into consideration, can we come close to the standard of perfection or completeness if lived according to God's Torah standard? I say yes. Yeshua lived a perfect life before his Father because he walked in the completeness of his Father's will. Yes, Yeshua contained divine DNA, but he still learned obedience by the suffering he went through, as the writer of Hebrews says. He sacrificed his animalistic nefesh nature every day to maintain his connection with heaven. I believe that a person who walks in the path of Torah in full surrender and obedience to the Ruach HaKodesh will live a life that will look like Yeshua, the words of God in the flesh. The Ruach HaKodesh is the giver of divine information. When we dissect Yeshua's life within the culture of Judaism, and specifically Pharisee Judaism, we will see that he was a religious Jew in every way according to the writings of Moses that were passed down from priest to priest, even during the exile in Babylon and beyond. We also know from Yeshua's own words that one of his purposes was to fully live according to all that Moses instructed Israel. He was circumcised into the covenant on the eighth day of his birth. He went through a bat mitzvah at 13 years of age and ended up staying in Jerusalem 5 days longer than his family did, if you remember the story. When he went home with his mother, it is logical to believe that he lived a very Jewish life as a young man, studying and praying in the synagogue each day, 3 times a day, as it was too far for them to travel to the temple for the 3 daily prayer and offering times. He was trained in all the commentaries and the legal matters of the life of a Pharisee. He learned to trade with his father. He learned all that the other boys in the village of Nazareth were studying. The difference was that he had a closer connection to heaven. Everything he did was in obedience to the community standards and laws. He ate only what the Torah said was food. He didn't mingle with the single girls. He celebrated Shabbat and all of the other mandated appointed festival days by going to Jerusalem with his father until his father died. Then he took his younger bar mitzvah age brothers because it was commanded by Torah to go. He was a religious Jew in every respect, and that never changed. As a living representation of the heart of God, Yeshua's life was in complete agreement with God's holy Torah given through Moses. All of Yeshua's actions were conducted within the fabric of his father's character. The true completeness of the Torah was lived out by Yeshua. How he participated within the community, how he reacted to persecution, how he dealt with false teachers, how he treated his mother, how he healed the sick, how he delivered those who, because of their Torah breaking, were trapped in the grip of demons, how he taught in the synagogues as a scholarly Pharisee, how he felt compassion for the lost sheep of Israel, how he offered his righteous life in exchange for the Torah breaking of the children of Abraham by taking on their punishment. There are more things that can be said, but I think we get the point. Yeshua had full control of his animalistic nefesh soul because his mission had eternal consequences. Our mission also has eternal consequences, but we haven't taken control of our animal soul that just wants pleasure right now. To truly walk in liberty and truth will take destroying the control of the selfish soul and rising to live under the control of the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine giver of eternal knowledge. The fruit of the Spirit, the attributes of God, are produced through the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we surrender our will daily to the way of the heart of God. Rabbi Shaul says we must work out our salvation, redemption, with fear and trembling. So if we're not obeying God's Torah, how are we working out our salvation? So how do we do this? I believe that Peter, also known as Kepha, discovered the natural progression of the fruit-bearing believer. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 11 says, God's power has given us everything we need for life, the physical level, and godliness, the spiritual level, through our knowing the one who called us to his own glory and goodness. By these, the glory and goodness, he has given us valuable and superlative great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. For this very reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, your goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with perseverance, perseverance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you have these qualities in abundance, they keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Indeed, whoever lacks them is blind, so short-sighted that he forgets that his past breaking of the Torah covenant has been washed away. Therefore, brothers, try even harder to make your being called and chosen a certainty. For if you keep doing this, you will never stumble. Thus, you will be generously supplied with everything you need to enter the eternal kingdom realm of our Lord and Deliverer, Yeshua, the Messiah. I wrote in the margin of my Bible by verses 5 through 10, this is the safeguard of a fruitful salvation. Verse 9 being the key verse. So when Yeshua said to be complete, for God is complete, Peter gives us the picture of what this looks like in our lives. Yeshua was challenging his disciples to work toward a completeness that only comes from obedience and is revealed in our actions. He meant we had to work on being without blemish in our attitude toward God's word and other people. This physical body does not dictate our attitude toward God or others. Kepha, Peter, does tell us to work hard at proving our faith by the fruit of obedient actions. Faith produces goodness. Goodness is the absence of selfishness. Goodness looks out for the best for others. Goodness sacrifices for the needs of others. This brings up a point that many who do not know God's goodness struggle with. That being, why do bad things happen to good people? We can see from the above statements that very few people are truly good at the core. There is almost always a buried selfish reason for everything they do. Goodness holds no grudges nor demands restitution when wronged. Knowledge improves our understanding of the word by which we begin to see and understand God's ways. God himself revealed his character to Moses on the mountain when he spoke, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce the name the Yod Heh with the Vav Heh, Adonai. Exodus 33:19. Everything God does is out of complete unselfishness. Someone may say, but doesn't he expect us to pay him back by obeying his laws? This kind of thinking reveals a lack of understanding with regards to the blessing that obeying God's covenant gives to the one who loves him enough to obey his Torah. One who sees the Torah as a burden is one who still lives under the control of the animal nature that just wants self-pleasure. Self-control is easier as we learn what God's character traits are, because we see how God has all things important unto salvation and eternity in his control. There is much that God allows because of our freedom of choice. But again, He is very aware of what we choose even before we know ourselves. And He will use our decisions to train us. And He is also very aware of what is truly in our hearts. So we can't use this as an excuse for disobeying God's Torah either, if we are truly God's children. Self-control does not let the selfish actions of another dictate how they will live. Self-control comes from accepting that there is much we can't change or control, so we learn to control how we respond to that which we can't control. Many people fail in this area because they don't truly understand who they are in the Messiah. Their identity is wrapped up in what they do, so when their sense of self-value is threatened, they lose it. In Messiah, nothing of what we do through the flesh nature has any value for eternity. So it's not worth getting mad about. The only opinion that counts is what God thinks about us, and He gives us grace for the journey because of the blood of the restored covenant. However, that grace is only for those who are trying to live according to God's eternal covenant. He will not continue to give grace if we are living life according to our own selfish desires that demand pleasure for the body, but damages our neshama soul with God. So, exercising self-control produces perseverance. This gets back to the understanding that God is ultimately in control, and we can either follow Him or get in His way by living self-centered, selfish lives. Perseverance puts us back into the position of letting the fruit of the Spirit grow in us as we surrender to God's Torah purposes over our lives. As I said above, in Hebrews 5, 7 through 8, we are told that Yeshua learned obedience through the things He suffered in surrendering to the will of God. He persevered under the hand of God so that He would grow up, revealing what godliness looked like. Godliness is the bearing of the qualities of God's nature. This cannot be done if we are still walking under the control of the flesh nature, because it is adverse to the nature of God. Yeshua's brother, Yaakov, also known as James, tells us in chapter 1, verse 4, "And let endurance have its total work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." But let's look more closely at Yaakov's words. Endurance is something that is in short supply in the culture of the world. Yet Yaakov tells us that enduring a trial will work to conform our perspective to trusting in God's faithfulness, because we are being conformed into the likeness of Yeshua's obedience. Godliness comes from dying to our selfish ways and desires and choosing to live in such a way that people see the character of God in our lives. Godliness produces affection for others. Affection is based on how God sees people, not how we see them. God does not see our failings as who we are. He sees us for who we are becoming. So in this regard, we are all in the same place. Knowing this, we love beyond each other's failings and see them as people God created and died for to restore them back into the fellowship with His eternal covenant. We can care deeply for the people of God and choose to enjoy being with each other because there will be no bickering and fighting. Imagine that. They will know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another. Brotherly affection produces a sacrificial love for the members of God's family who are striving to walk out a biblically Torah correct life. Most of us have yet to reach past the self-control issue because we are still too wrapped up in ourselves and our rights. We have let the philosophies of this fallen world influence how we look at life. Rabbi Shaul warns the congregations in Colossae, in his letter, in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, "Watch out so that no one will take you captive by means of philosophy and empty deceit, following human pagan, demonic traditions, which accords with the elemental spirits of the world, but does not accord with the Messiah. As long as we follow the thoughts and teachings of humanism, we will never move past self-control. I've heard said that the elemental spirits spoken of here were the laws of Judaism. This is heresy and sacrilege, as the laws of God are of the highest element of creation. To call God's laws demonic is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And Yeshua says that one who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will be banned from heaven. Rabbi Shaul says elsewhere that it takes the reading of the word, which is written by the hand of God at Mount Sinai and reiterated by Yeshua, to cleanse our minds of the thought processes and the ways of the kingdom of darkness. It is only by choosing to live wholeheartedly within the boundaries of Torah that we will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is this only that will keep us in the will and provision of God. When the world systems fail, will we have the strength to survive, or will we collapse and turn from God? The process of biblical maturity will be the foundation on which we will have to stand when everything comes crashing down. When our friends turn on us, when we lose everything that the world holds dear, will we still hold on to our faith in the eternal God? He is the only absolute perfection when it comes to standing as everything else falls. There's so much more that could be said, but that will have to be for another episode. Abba, Lord, give me a heart that desires to know you. Give us a desire to pursue your heart. Give us eyes to see your character as our only goal. Fill us with your supernatural loving kindness that allows us to look beyond the faults of others so that we will see their struggle and come alongside them and walk them through to victory. Guard our souls against the darts of the adversary as we grow in our love for you and your creation. May everything we do be applied to the merit of Yeshua, our Redeemer and King. Let us finish with the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet, v'chayei olam nata betocheinu. Baruch atah Adonai, noten ha-Torah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who gives us the Torah of truth and implanted eternal life within us. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. Amen. And a new blessing for finishing our good news study. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, our King, Redeemer, Savior, Shield, who sent Messiah Yeshua, the King of Israel, to ransom your beloved ones. Blessed are you, Adonai, who renews his covenant in love. If you truly want to be a disciple of Yeshua, you can start by feasting daily on Yeshua, by studying what God's Torah requires of you as his child. This is how you can abide in Yeshua, and his words can abide in you. And he says you can ask what you will, and it will be done for you. When God's will has become your will, then God will fulfill his will in and through you. You can be the trusted servant who was given the 10 talents to be used for the king's purposes. You can start growing in your knowledge and understanding of God's word by watching the live stream feed of Sar Shalom Synagogue every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Sar Shalom Synagogue YouTube, which is identified by My Sar Shalom, has video recordings going back at least 5 years. I suggest you start with the messages from the last Shabbat, the last of October 2016. These messages start with the Genesis, which is the best place to start if you want to see how Yeshua fits within the whole Bible narrative. You can also tune in to Lapid Judaism with Rabbi Mordechai Griffin on YouTube Live for the daily and Aliyah a Day teaching each day, Monday through Friday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, or on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. And you can also find recordings on Lapid Judaism that has the blue logo on YouTube. And there you will find some very instructive videos on how to celebrate Shabbat, how to do many things that are just everyday things that Jewish people do as they serve God. There are several resources I would like to recommend if you are ready for deeper personal study. The Art Scroll Chumash, or the Kehot Chumash, which is the five books of Moses, otherwise known as the books of Torah. In these books, you will find commentary that you have never heard before. Everyday Holiness by Alan Morinus for further study in a life that reflects the attributes that produce the fruit Yeshua is looking for in his followers. The Path of the Just by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, also known as Ramchal. This book will teach you how to live righteously in your daily lives. If you have the Anchor app on your cell phone, you can access the teachings of the Shomer Man, Super Time, and Thomas and Janaya for more clarity and deep insights into God's Word. There is also another anchor person, Musar with Batya. She also goes into depth with regards to the teachings about repentance, about the everyday holiness that will increase our holiness from a heart perspective. So check those out on Anchor and purchase a Bible that is Judaism-centered instead of Greek focus. So much is lost in the translation into the Greek and then into the English. So much is lost from the English translation. My favorite to read right now is The Tree of Life, but there's also the four Gospels that you can find called the Delitzsch, D-E-L-I-T-Z-S-C-H, Hebrew Gospels, published by Vine of David. That's got some great explanations with regards to understanding the Hebrew idioms that are very common in the Hebrew writings. You can find a list of helpful resources at mysarshalom.com. Shalom and have a blessed week.